Welcome to this week's On the Gravel with your host, the Degradation Degenerates, myself and Oliver.
Hola.
Hello, everyone.
It's a very, very good Monday today. Maybe not for the F1 world, and we'll get into that soon, but my Detroit Lions are going to the NFC Championship. So, there's some stuff to be excited about.
If anyone listened to the Zach Elliott, the Deep Fade show with Zach Elliott or the Daily Hockey show, you would have heard my opinions and that I'm a little sour today about the 49ers beating the Packers, but that's okay.
Hey, you guys kept it close, and I'm proud of the Packers on what's supposed to be a rebuilding year.
True. Speaking of rebuilding, the biggest F1 news that has happened in the last 2 weeks.
Honestly, the entire offseason, if we're being real.
True. Gunther Steiner has been sacked by Haas, with Ayu Komatsu becoming the team principal and them expecting to get a Zach Brown style personality to kind of take over some of the back end non-team management things.
Yeah.
Like HR and what is the other one? Headquarters management is another big one they're looking for, but
yeah, Komatsu is going to be a very engineering performance focused team principal, and then have a non-performance management role created. But it's kind of disappointing. I think this is all with Gene Haas and his philosophy for F1. It's been very interesting watching Haas since their inception in 2016, because it kind of sucks given a lot of their high years have been the very first few years that they had in the sport. It's kind of felt like a downward spiral since they've started. You know, I mean, they had pole position in Brazil at the end of 2022, which was definitely something they needed.
Nico also got pole this year.
It was close. He got P2 in
Canada.
Yeah, P2 and then he got,
right in the rain, yeah.
And then he got that grid penalty, which, mm-hmm. in my opinion, was some BS. But I guess you can't be hating on a new set of eyes, but I don't think Gunther Steiner was the problem. His contract had come to an end during this offseason, and Gene Haas decided not to renew it.
And Gene Haas said to ESPN that it came down to performance, that he was there for 8 years, over 160 races, and they've, like Oliver said, never had a podium. And last couple of years, they've been consistently 9th or 10th in the Constructors' Cup. So,
yeah, they had one standout year, which was 2018 when they finished 5th. They had a couple P4s that year, and it was like that's when they were really, really looking like a solid midfield team. And then you had the whole Rich Energy Haas thing in 2019, which gave them a really bad and almost memeable image, where they essentially got scammed by a fake sports drink company. Then you had 2020, where they put the entire development of the car on the back burner after that season. So 2021, two rookies, no development on the car, focus for 2022, which kind of did work for them. You know, like I mentioned, they got that pole position at the end of 2022. They definitely scored more points that year than all of 2021 and 2020 combined. But I think the huge issue with Haas is not how that team is managed by Gunther Steiner, but their reliance on Ferrari. Because this has always been Gene Haas's philosophy, I guess, with this team. They source as many stock parts as they can legally in the regulations from Ferrari and from Dallara, you know, Dallara being chassis makers for IndyCar and, you know, here in F1, I guess, for Haas as well. So the only real design that is left for Haas is the chassis and the aero of their car. You know, like durability, the power unit, all that stuff. It's kind of like a carbon copy from Ferrari, so you can't really, I guess, upgrade that.
Yeah, modify and change it to your specificity.
Essentially, without sitting down with Ferrari and having them, you know, explain everything. Like, it becomes like a Red Bull.
And at the same time, it's like Ferrari is notorious outside of the racing world for not liking their cars to be modified. So
exactly.
I can't imagine, like, inside a racing space that if you went up to Ferrari's, like, head
engineer
and was like, yeah, we want to change the engine, and I don't think they're going to like that very much.
Exactly. So I think Gunther Steiner was in a very difficult spot because he was, you know, overseeing all the development on that car, but there's only so much development that was able to happen given the philosophy that Gene Haas and Haas as a team follow. So, it's always been with, you know, keeping down costs for them. So, I think if they really want to start challenging, they need to, you know, kind of move away from this reliance on Ferrari and Dallara. Of course, keep Ferrari engines. Like, that's great. But they need to stop sourcing so many stock parts and actually sit down and develop as much of the car naturally as they can. I don't see them ever finishing higher than, let's say, sixth on the grid without making a change like this. And Gene Haas, I guarantee you, he thinks Komatsu is the answer. And he might bring better results, but somebody needs to hit Gene Haas with a slap in the face and essentially ditch the Dallara and Ferrari bond. I don't want to say bond, but you know, just how much reliance goes into Haas, because they're kind of like a little brother. You know, they're getting carried by Ferrari. So you see a lot of the same problems with Haas that you see with Ferrari, whether it be tire deg, that's the huge one. Ferrari and Haas struggled so much with that last year. And then race pace as well. Haas struggled even worse than Ferrari did last year with race pace. Both of those cars feel like qualifying cars. And it honestly last year felt like that's all they were there for on a given race weekend. So they really need to move away from this design philosophy and start working on building a car that is their own. And I think then they'll start seeing results. What's your opinion?
I agree. I mean, there definitely needs to be change for Haas, and I think the same is going to be kind of said for AlphaTauri and how they are getting a lot more of the Red Bull parts, like carbon copy.
Yeah.
I think it's good for those teams to be getting the
same assistance,
but also like somewhat of the same car parts. Like,
yeah,
you're closing the field a little bit by doing that. Which
I think that's fair. And I guess they're also tested car parts, you know, like in the sense of, you know, if it works for Ferrari, you know, you're still getting
a
good
engine.
Piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they have to start building themselves. But, you know, speaking of somebody who's actually breaking away from their team, Visa Cash App Racing Bulls. Are we serious?
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second. Or do you want to get into that now?
I kind of want to talk about it right now because
right, let's go for it. So this is all still rumored. I don't think it's come out as been official, but there's been numerous leaks that kind of point to this being an actual thing that's going to happen. You pulled up a concept livery, which I think it looked good.
I think it looked phenomenal. I can't lie. The concept looked phenomenal.
It's a mainly blue car with like green, like the Cash App green,
yeah,
on like hints of the car. So
on the front wing and on the side pod, which looked really cool.
It does look good, but this is where Oliver and I both kind of agreed where this is a new age of this kind of mentality and like how we're going about naming new teams and such, where you're kind of leaving the tradition of getting these super famous like car names and
Reputable.
Thank you.
Reputable. Brand. Reputable.
Yes.
I messed it up too.
It's early, but
it is.
So you can't get these like reputable brands to take these cars anymore because everyone has already done it, or there's not many car manufacturers that have money to be doing this anymore. Like, look at Honda that left in 2008. That was,
yeah,
they're never coming back to F1
or
because of
or
that.
BMW who yeah. left in 2009.
Like, Audi's the one that is still kind of in question, where it's like they could come back, but let's go into the Stake F1 team too, where these team sponsors are relevant companies that have money to be given out.
Yeah.
It's not more so the tradition of the sport, and like you're getting this, like they're kind of getting rid of the Sauber name almost. Like,
yeah, I feel
it.
Like I haven't like truly heard the Sauber name, you know, while watching a race weekend since 2018 with Charles Leclerc when he was at Sauber. It sucks. Like, Alfa Romeo was a great title sponsor. I mean, they're a beautiful, very nice, reputable car brand.
And it's just like, that's a car brand people know.
Exactly.
Where it's like, I don't know if, do you think everyone in the world knows what Visa Cash App is? Like, genuine question.
I don't think everybody, like, to me, Cash App is a very Western.
It is.
Application.
It 100% is. But at the same time, it's like, do people know Stake?
Okay, Stake, I feel like, is more well-known than that. But it's like how I've been looking at it is...
Well, it's like, I'm trying to say as, like, your parents' generations of fans.
Oh, of like, course not. No, they have no idea what Stake is. It feels like they're preying on the influx of young viewers in this day and age. And, good on them. It's a business. But it's like, you have to think about, let's go back to like the 90s or something, or in like early 2000s. Did you see Ferrari with their like tight-knit relationship with Marlboro? Were they called Marlboro Ferrari? No, it was still Ferrari.
But you had Marlboro as the brand. It's like Williams and Rothmans.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, when I think of the Williams car, and this is like before I was a fan too, so whenever I saw that car, I know it's a Rothmans car. Like, you don't have those sponsors as much as you do, like you said, in the 80s and 90s, where you have like one cool sponsor, quote
exactly.
unquote,
and
like
I,
the Martini
still,
livery.
So beautiful, dude.
Like,
the
all
Williams
those
Martini.
Liveries need to come back, in my
and
opinion.
And it's like, I'm cool, like, with the sponsors. I think it's where the naming rights get blurred. Like, I just don't like that, you know, Sauber, it's now called Stake F1 Team Sauber Kick, and now it's Visa Cash App Racing Bulls is rumored to be AlphaTauri. It's like, I think there's too much clutter in it, and especially with Stake, like, it is genuinely memeable. If you go on Sauber's social medias right now and just look at the comments, like, on their posts, like, it's kind of a joke. Because it to me, it seems like a cash grab. But maybe that's like really how you have to look at it. Like, are you have to accept it when there's such a huge influx of people, you know, watching something that demand, you know, it shoots up, and then your ability to garner new users and new patrons to services is of course going to go up because there's so many eyes on the sport, which sucks.
Trying to find the Sauber Instagram, and I don't know.
You're going to have to look up Stake F1 Team.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a full rebrand. But, yeah, I don't know. To me, it just seems very, very unfortunate. But, I mean, if who knows? What I'm happy about is that it's these lower grid teams, like AlphaTauri, Sauber, you know, you're talking back of the grid. Hopefully, with money like that, they can boost development on their cars and stuff.
I need to say this real quick,
yeah,
just because this is also something that we're going to get into, is how F1 teams are kind of trying to go for the younger audience.
Yeah.
On the Stake F1 team's official Instagram, it has the ins and outs of this year. And for the ins...
Oh, I dude, I swear to God,
it's neon green.
I need a Max Ween.
I need a Max Ween. And unleashing the C44, which I don't know what that really means, but I'm...
C44 is the actual car.
Okay, that's what I assumed, but... What do we think? They're going neon green as their new main color.
Dude, there's potential that there's going to be three green cars on the grid. Aston Martin, Sauber. I'm not calling them Stake, dude. I'm not calling them Stake. And you will not hear me call them Stake F1 team all season. I'm boycotting this. But, and then AlphaTauri. I'm also, they're going to be called AlphaTauri all season, bro. Like, yeah, a lot of green.
It's just like
it's
when
money,
Red
money,
Bull,
money.
It's just like when Red Bull was being switched.
From Jaguar and Minardi.
But they always kept calling it Toro Rosso, didn't they?
Yeah, I 2020. Let's see. Yeah, 2020 is when they switched over to AlphaTauri from Toro Rosso. I still called them Toro Rosso for like a good half of that season. But I can't look in a mirror and be like, yes, I am a supporter of Visa Cash App Racing Bulls.
You think Martin Brundle's going to be just screaming in the air?
I feel like I cannot wait to watch preseason testing in a couple weeks and just listen to him banter about the names of these teams.
Because
I know with how long he's been a pundit, he's going to have something to say about that. And I really want to hear it because I like how outspoken he is sometimes.
Going off of how Stake was embodying the youth and trying to go for young guys, let's talk about how McLaren just randomly dropped the livery.
That was so weird. I literally just, I go on Instagram one day. It's like 9 or 10 in the morning and it's like, here is the MCL 36. And I'm like, what? Like, I thought I had to wait like 2 more weeks for this. But you and I were talking about it a couple days ago where it's like just, yeah, embodying. It's almost, dude, it almost seems like embodying the impatience of young viewers. It's like giving them what they want immediately.
I think it's more so as like they have the youngest two drivers on the grid. They are also one of the companies that really is focusing on the young drivers. Like,
yeah,
they want to keep the guys young. They want to keep these guys fresh. But at the same time, I feel like that's kind of rubbing off on the team where
Definitely. They're
kind of getting these moments of like, oh, this would be great. Like, let's just randomly drop the livery on a, I don't know what
just
day it was.
Whim, yeah,
on a whim. But it's like, I made the connection to Aston Martin's like Instagram, how they've just been absolutely killing it with
Fernando's
memes.
TikTok,
oh my,
dude.
They're so funny. Every single one of them is so funny. And
they garner so many like diehard fans because of it.
And it's like fans that like are Red Bull fans. That
it's
still
like, yeah,
love...
you never would have been following Aston Martin before this.
No, unless you just love
Fernando Alonso.
But,
or Lance Stroll, but who's that?
Wimbledon player.
Okay, dude. But it's like, I don't know if I, like, do we see this continuing, like, in the future?
I don't know.
Do you think more teams embody this? Or
I say it to a degree. I think it's going to be like, they're going to say for, like, the car reveal day, it's like, oh, you know, February 12th, and then they maybe put it out like 2 days early and be like, gotcha.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. But I don't really feel like they're going to be just randomly dropping the car or, you know, if there's like a random switch that a team's making, I don't feel like they're going to like just do it on a whim and be like, oh, look what we did. Like,
true, true.
They're going to preface it and try to keep it how it's been traditionally.
And before we get on the topic of how the car actually looks, because I definitely want to talk about that. How do we feel about, you know, how their actual launch is going to go now. Like, to me, I feel like given that they dropped this livery out of nowhere, the viewer base for their actual, what they're now calling it, is it like a team reveal? I feel like not as many people are going to tune into that. So I don't know if this random dropping of the livery benefit them, I guess.
You said that they had like a cool media run a few years ago.
With Daniel and Lando in 2022, I remember getting up like super early to like sit there and watch the live stream that they did. And it was like, yeah, they did a lot of cool interviews. They had this media event where Daniel and Lando went to this like music studio and were making music with this producer. I can't remember what his name was. He was some famous guy. But it was really cool. Like, it was just very fun, and it kept me engaged the entire time, you know, getting me more and more hyped up to see the livery. So I don't know what they're going to do this year, given that every single person now knows exactly what the car looks like.
Well, I think they're going to do something similar. I think they'll do the car reveal, but then they'll do some stuff with the drivers and kind of get their opinions and...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just going to be more fun. Like let them be kids, essentially.
Exactly.
Kind of mentality, and let them just kind of run the show, because both of those guys are A, funny enough, and B, charming enough to hold a crowd for 3 hours, in my opinion. So
it's just interesting that we're not going to have the textbook like,
this is our car.
Pull the cloth off the top of the car and be like, look at this. Let's go.
Cuts to George Russell. Wow, this thing's going to be fast.
Sure, bud. That Mercedes, I'm telling you, they're not finishing top two this year.
The other memes that I've been seeing, and I saw one where George Russell actually like responded and reacted to it.
Oh, but no.
It was like suggestions for his intro pose this year.
Dude.
They're so good. They're
like... I mean, given that he had like both of his hands like up on the wall like last year, I would love to see some type of like him just doing some corny lean
let
on the
Lewis,
wall.
Let Lewis do it all. Like, let him just take full reign, take full
over
control.
How George is going to
do it. No. Out of everyone.
Oh,
like,
God.
Let him dress him up. Let him just like how...
Dude, it's going to turn into a fashion show.
It's going to be him and him and Charles at Coda. Where he was, like,
dude,
telling
him
to take the pictures, and he's like, no, pose. Like, don't just stand there.
Dude, it's already, like we talked about last time, it's already rubbing off on Lando Norris, dude, with how Lando's Instagram has evolved.
But I'm just happy that I do really want, I've said this in the last episode, I'm pretty sure, but I really do want there to be, like, some sort of fashion where, like, I don't know, maybe these guys aren't, you know, yeah, like, the Ferrari guys are going to wear their Ferrari suit, but,
yep.
I don't know. Have Oscar come out in a Supreme shirt. Like, you know that's okay. What he's going to wear.
Dude, that's too much. Dude, they're going to keep them in that team apparel as long as they can. But
it's all marketing, I know.
I guess going back to the team itself, how do you actually feel about how the car looks? Because this is, to me, I kind of expected something like this.
So I know, if I remember correctly, I'm going to pull it up here.
Yep.
But... didn't they switch OKX and...
OKX is now like the sponsor on the side pod. Yeah.
They switched, which I know part of it was because when they were racing in America, they had to lower the size.
Lower the size, and they had to stamp on a line that says nicotine is an addictive chemical kind of thing. But... I think, like, having OKX, I think it's technically now they are, like, the title sponsor of the car. That is something I expected, just given how often they were running it. But also, the thing that sucks is the complete removal of blue on the car. It's now all black and papaya. And I don't know, I thought the blue was very nice on their car. Like, as little as it was.
I think they'll do... like, obviously, they do their, like, Monaco Golf livery.
Yeah, that was their best livery ever, dude, in 2021. That thing was a beauty.
I think they'll definitely, like, implement the blue for special races, but I don't think they're going to keep it as, like you said, I think they're going to keep the papaya orange as their like signature color, which
as it always has been,
which you should.
But I wish, dude, especially with how it was received in Britain last year, I wish they put a little bit of chrome on the car too. I think that would have looked gorgeous. But I am for the first car reveal, I think it is a very solid looking car. I think that thing is beautiful. I think we got a very big teaser on how it would look towards the end of the season last year, because they were doing special liveries almost every race towards the end of the year. And it was very focused on the black and orange. You know, the blue is stripped out for a lot of these special liveries, and they all looked really good. And they followed through with that, and they made something that looked pretty darn sexy.
Gotta agree with you there.
Did you also see that Alpine also leaked like a very small image of their rear wing? They posted it a couple days ago. It is a fully pink camouflage rear wing. Like, if you saw the Palace livery that they did towards the end of the season, it looks a lot like that. Like, I think they might have like a fully camo pattern on the car this year. So that's one that I'm very excited for. But it's going to be a lot of pink, dude.
Which might not be a bad thing. If there's going to be neon green,
dude, I don't want to hear.
We're getting Cosmo and Wanda on the grid. Aren't you excited?
That team is anything but magical, bro. And I don't want to hear my buddies raving about the pink on this car, dude. I can't take it anymore.
So we'll switch gears here for a second, kind of talk about the official car launch days, and most of them being in the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
So we will probably be starting, we'll do one more week off for the rest of the year for like the dual schedule, and then starting after, you want to say first week of February, February 5th, yeah, it's when the first car reveals will start. So
we'll definitely be doing once a week.
Yeah, we'll definitely be going back to once a week, and then end of February races start. So you'll be catching us.
You got preseason testing in just a couple weeks. I literally can't wait.
So sick.
But no, it's going to be very nice to come on here and just do a bunch of car ratings. It's going to be really fun. I'm so excited to do it.
So starting off, we'll start off with AlphaTauri, or the Visa Cash App Racing Bulls. They have not announced their car drop yet with everything that they have currently got going on. But last year they dropped it on February 11th. So I am assuming that they will probably keep the same date, or at least similar date. Otherwise, for the confirmed dates, we have, Sauber and Williams on the 5th of February. We have Alpine on the 7th, Haas on the 11th, Aston Martin on the 12th, Ferrari on the 13th, Mercedes and McLaren on the 14th, and Red Bull on the 15th. So it's going to be a very, very packed week. And then right after that, we get to start seeing how these cars actually perform. So that will be very exciting.
We're so close.
I know. So close to the lights going back out.
I know we were also talking about Aston Martin a bit. I know you had a point you wanted to mention about them. Specifically relating to their performance this coming year.
Yeah. Just something about their future and their goals. The end of last year for them was absolutely abysmal. Might have been one of the worst mid-season like shifts or drop-offs
that
I've ever
seen
in
performance.
Years. They were going from consistently being, you know, second or third in races to absolutely being barely top 10. But their team principal, Mike Crack, was keen to dampen expectations for 2024, as he reckoned this particular campaign wouldn't make or break the Aston Martin project. He's quoted saying, "We honestly have to zoom out a little bit over a 3 or 4 year period rather than a race by race or season to season. If we do not finish in a higher position next year than we do this year, people will see it as a failure. And I think you have to differentiate a little bit more. But the nature of the business is championship positions. That was done by motorsport.com by Ben Vinyl. So thank you over there for that great, great piece of just
insight.
Yeah, it's
you have to understand they're going through like a whole factory switch. Yeah, I think it's very
And that was a part of it is he didn't want them moving into that new Silverstone factory to be an excuse for last year's end of performance. So
yeah,
I think it's going to be great that they have their own space now and a bigger space for them. I think they have their own wind tunnel and all that now. So
yeah, exactly.
Good for them, but they need to keep the momentum that they had at the beginning of last year. Or like you said, they don't need to win next year. It seems like they're kind of taking a step back and trying to see where the car is at the beginning and then see how they can get it to where they want to in the next few years.
Absolutely.
Which if you're a middle of the pack team, I can't really hate you for, because
dude, I don't even know if you can consider, you really can consider last year a failure.
No, you can't.
Like, they had so much success. Like, even if it was just at the beginning of the season last year, you still have to appreciate, like, they came out of nowhere just finishing on the podium every single race at the beginning of the year. And I think that's, like, the most important thing to take away.
Definitely.
Teams are always going to have those little dips, but it's, like you said, it really all is about the bigger picture.
Do you want to talk about the Perez quote?
Dude, I was reading this article last night, and I was just sitting there with my hands, my forehead in my hands, dude. This guy, Sergio Perez, is still talking about bringing the title challenge to Max Verstappen. When is this dude just going to call it quits? Like, it's genuinely unbelievable.
Dude, I'm getting laughed over.
It's laughable.
But it's literally so laughable.
I mean, with everything that's happened with him in the last year, why do you think you can, A, bring the championship fight next year?
To one of the greatest drivers of all time, by the way.
But, like, what makes it different from last year? He had the same mentality going into it, and then they end up almost 400 points apart.
Dude, this guy's mentality crumbles so quickly into the season. Like, he has one bad race weekend and it absolutely destroys him for the next five race weekends.
It's because he's getting drunk on his yacht
and cheating on his wife. Dude, I'm never gonna stop talking about that. It's such a funny joke. But it's like, I don't know how, like, it sucks because he has to say stuff like that to, you know, just for his image,
just to keep himself, like, in the news even too.
Yeah. But I can't imagine what's going through his head when he's sitting there and saying, yep, I finished second already and I want to do one better and I'm going to do one better.
Bro, you might not even be there by the end of the year.
Dude, that's a whole nother one, dude. If he starts this season off poorly, dude, the axe might be coming. We'll do our race predictions in a future episode before the season starts, but it's coming, dude. There's not going to be a title challenge when you're not in the car halfway through the season.
A few more little things before we start to wrap up here, but how about Charles Leclerc going skiing? And everyone in the...
That made me so happy.
Everyone on Instagram was like, wow, he looks so good. He's having so much fun. And then I saw one comment where it's like flashback to Michael Schumacher.
Dude, that one, that hit hard. I was not ready for that comment.
Which is a valid point where it's like a lot of these guys, they're one of the most adrenaline-filled sports of all time. You're traveling at 180 miles per hour for 2 hours.
Yep.
Like, some of these guys are losing. In the beautiful interview by Noel Miller, Hot Laps, they just did one with Daniel Ricciardo, and he said that most of these guys are losing up to 10 pounds of water weight a race.
In a race, which it's crazy.
Puts into perspective, like, that's how much a lot of, like, Olympic wrestlers and stuff will go through.
exactly.
during the course of like a tournament. Yeah. But I think it really does put into perspective like how strong and how much of athletes these guys are. But at the same time, that makes the normal mundane like mountain bike riding really boring for them. So yeah. they have to be like, Lewis was jumping out of planes by himself. He's done that a lot from what I can tell. So it's nothing like new, but
Lewis is out there with his off season shenanigans, but it's very fun to watch.
But
they're adrenaline chasing.
They are. And part of that comes with risk for injury.
Yeah.
And in a sport where
there is a high risk for injury,
there is already, but when you're doing stuff outside of your sport,
yeah,
it's like why a lot of these like famous basketball players and stuff, they can't like have motorcycles. It's like against their contract and clause. Yeah.
It was like Lance Stroll getting in that biking accident before the beginning of the season. And, you know, him having essentially coming back with broken wrists instead of taking a week and sitting out.
He's not Valtteri, bro.
It's dude, no, he's not.
Drive to Survive is set to return on February 23rd. How do you think they're going to do without their star man, Gunther?
I'm worried for them, dude.
This is, no, like, genuinely, this is going to be, a lot of people watch that show because of how much they loved Gunther.
Yeah, and I, you know, he'll still be in it this year, given it's focused on the past season, he'll still be in.
But there's going to be the moment, I already know that this is exactly how it's going to go. They're going to, like, cut to him saying his last thing, and then it's going to cut to an open chair. And then Komatsu sits down and is like, I am the new team principal for
exactly.
Haas. Like,
I am the principal now.
Yeah, like, it's going to be some, like, super dramatic, overly cut, when in reality it just was like, yeah, we're going with this guy.
But hey, that's what I'm here for.
I think it's going to be good. I mean, people have their opinions about Drive to Survive. I think it's a great way of trying to get people into the sport.
Yeah.
You know, it worked with like Hard Knocks and some of those other behind the scenes shows for those big leagues, but
definitely with, you know, you spend more time watching, studying, you know, doing that kind of stuff with F1, you do shy away from that Drive to Survive
because it is reality TV at the end of the day.
Exactly. And I still enjoy watching it, but you know, given how much I know about the sport, it's not like I'm going off Drive to Survive
change
as my knowledge base.
Car.
But yeah, dude, I literally had one season where I like in 2020 specifically, like I watched literally every free practice session, every qualifying, every race. And it was like I knew team audios from each race down to a T, and I knew when they were like subbing out team audios from different races.
There was
just
one,
just to increase the drama.
I forget the one where I think it was where Max and Lewis had the incident and Max got pushed off or something.
Yeah.
And like immediately after, it's like Lewis being like, is Max okay? When in reality, it was like 8 laps later he asked that.
Exactly.
It's, as someone who like does this for school too, it's like I have a very interesting aspect of it because something you learn about is editor's bias, especially when you're editing true like footage. The editor at the end of the day has full control.
Yeah.
They can dramatize the story or however you want to do it, but like they're the ones that are quote unquote pulling the strings and making it as entertaining as possible when sometimes that means you're straying away from how things actually went. But
yeah,
that's where
it's also something like a lot of fans don't see or don't understand.
Yeah, they don't. And that's something with people in the film industry as a whole. Like, but that's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
Any other huge racing points you want to get over?
I think I am feeling good. I'm so, so ready for these reveals, dude. It's like, it's so difficult to sit here for 2 months with absolutely no knowledge, or not knowledge, but just no real things to talk about. Okay, we've had stuff to talk about. That's not the right way to
put it.
We've
had like four episodes going.
We've had like 2.5 hours of content. But no, but it's like I'm almost happy that this Gunther Steiner thing happened because it's just it's so exhilarating. It's so fun to just sit here and talk about racing. So we are so close to really getting on that grind of the 2024 season. So I can't wait, dude.
Hopefully we'll be going to a few races.
Couple of them.
I know Canada is one that we are talking about, and since I might be studying abroad, we might be traveling over the pond to either Spa or Hungary. So both of those would be absolutely amazing races to go to, but that would also mean that we could bring some boots on the ground content for y'all, and
which will be so fun.
Start getting some YouTube clips.
Oh yeah,
but
I might go to the WEC race in Austin this year too. General admission, 3-day tickets, under $100.
You heard it here first, folks.
But get on that before they're sold out. 6 straight hours of racing for $100. Are
I know,
you kidding me?
The Porsche couple Le Mans, like Porsche Le Mans, quote unquote, is at Road America. And it's like,
yeah,
I
would
believe
love
12
to
for
love
6
to go
hours.
To Porsche Cup.
So that's another fun thing to do if you're around the Chicago or Midwestern area. But I think that'll be wrapping it up for us for this week. But like always, Oliver, anything else?
Love you guys.
Love you guys. We will see you guys next week. And yeah, stay warm and have a good one.
Bye-bye.